Matthew chapter 5. It's kind of a time where we start thinking about what we're going to be doing for the upcoming year, maybe a new beginning, think about the things that we did wrong last year, things that we may want to change, new things that we may want to do. You may have a list of things that you are going to try to commit to do this next year. You may not, but I think probably everyone here would like to be a better Christian this next year, whether you have resolutions or not. I think that's probably somewhere in the back of all of our heads or in our hearts, that some way, somehow, we want to be closer to the Lord this next year than we were last year. The thought of that on New Year's Eve is usually a pretty exciting thought. The thought of that on January 5th is usually a disappointing thought. At least it is for me. Whenever I figured out 5 days after the resolution, I've already failed on what I'd committed to do. I want this morning, for just a few minutes, I don't want to take very long, I want us to look and see what Christ tells us that we are. How we really become what we want to be if we're His, if we're born again, if we desire to be a servant of Christ, if we desire to be fruitful. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. By the way, you know, sometimes we get kind of bogged down and we wonder what we ought to be doing, what the Lord would have us to do. We make things probably a little more complicated than they ought to be, but if we just knew what God would have us to do, then we would do it, but we're kind of at a standstill. Maybe we're kind of confused, or maybe we just wish things were a little clearer for us. There's almost an obsession with what is the purpose of your life, at least in the world, and in the Christian world as well. People that look for purpose. Why does God have us here? Why has God even called you into His kingdom? Why has He adopted you as a son or into His family? And Christ gives us a pretty plain answer to that, at least part of, and one thing that we could always be doing, one thing that we always should be doing, and it is Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. And this is what Christ says. He says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And so if we could, for a few minutes this morning, I want to look at what this means. What is Christ actually teaching here as He says that you are a light of the world? Plainly calls you that. Says that you should live in such a way that men see your good works and glorify your Father. Now we take this whole word picture of a light, or the picture of a light, and usually we get it all wrong. Because usually whenever I want to be a better Christian, I convince myself that it's so God will get glory, but most of the time it's so that men will see just how wise I am and just how much of Scripture that I know, and admire me, really, just to be honest. They'll think, well, you know, that Brother Lewis is a pretty smart guy, so if I have a problem, maybe I could ask him about it. Or maybe I should try to be more like him rather than ask him about it. Maybe I should strive to be more like him. He's a good student, or he is knowledgeable, or he always knows just what to do, which is not true, but you understand what I mean. Whenever we start thinking about growing in grace and growing in our knowledge of God's Word, most of the time, if not for you, it is for me. It's for me. I mean, I'm hoping I'm going to get something out of that. I'm hoping that people are going to notice that. If not, what's the point, right? That's usually the way it goes. But here, Christ gives us this word picture of being a light, and while we think of it in our self-centered mindset, we usually think that we are shining as lights. That's what lights do. They shine. And so we make this big impression, or this big splash almost. That people, we catch everybody's eye. I mean, we're the ones shining. We're lights. We're walking around in the world, and we grab people's attention. And so we're kind of the center of the show. That's just kind of the way it goes, at least in our own minds. But while in Matthew chapter 5, Christ tells us that we are the light of the world, he makes it clear in John chapter 8, verse 12, Christ would say that I am the light of the world. Christ said that about himself. In 1 John 1, he would say that this is the message that we've heard, that God is light and in him is no darkness. And so we have the understanding, at least the picture here, that any light that we have has to come directly from Christ. We also learn over in John chapter 3 that the condemnation of men is that we love darkness more than light, because that's what we are. That's what we are. That's what we love. We love our evil deeds more than we love light. So for Christ to tell us that we are the lights of the world, well, the word picture is kind of like this, at least the way that we could understand it. We are bulbs, light bulbs. You take a light bulb out of one of those little sockets, and it doesn't do a thing. It's not until it's screwed into its source of power that it shines or does anything at all. The source of energy there. That's exactly the way you are. You're not a light unless you are abiding in Christ. You're just a bulb, which is worthless. How many of you looked at the bulb this morning and said, my goodness, I really like the style of bulb Grace Chapel has chosen for their chandeliers? It has really made all the difference in this building. Probably nobody, because we don't think that way. I mean, it's silly. But that's the way we think whenever we're thinking about ourselves that way. My goodness, has God crafted such a lovely bulb with Louis Cicron, the way he can word things and the way he acts, and he's just so great. That's the way I think of myself all the time. Probably the way you think of yourself all the time. We were just so self-centered on that. But what we don't realize in our hearts, we know this in our head, we could all confess that we know that we're nothing without Christ. But the truth be told, without Christ, we are totally worthless. Matter of fact, you cannot fulfill what Christ is calling us to do here and being a light to the world unless you have him. He'll make that clear in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. He would give us, it's another picture here, but it's the same principle of the light bulb into the chandelier. This is John 15:4. It says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And so the synopsis of these three verses are, if you are not abiding in Christ, you are worthless. You're worthless. Why do men gather branches and cast them into the fire? They can't do anything with them, right? They're worthless. They just need to get them out of the way. And so, if you are living a life that is not abiding in Christ, then you are, in effect, worthless. A couple of years ago, Brother Jerry Sr. was talking about Christians that are shade trees. Shade trees. You get around them, you just get lazy. You sit around, there's not a whole lot of activity because all they're good for is shade. Not bringing forth much fruit, they're just shade trees. They kind of drag things down. And that's what we become if we are not abiding in Christ. Back to Matthew 5. So I want to establish the fact that Christ has called us to be lights, that it is impossible for us to shine unless we are abiding in Christ, and then the purpose. And then I'm going to sit down. Why do we shine? Why do we shine forth as lights? Why has God called us to be lights? Why has God called us to be anything? In Matthew 5, verse 16, it says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Here's the purpose. Here's why God has called you to be a light. Matter of fact, if you look over in John 15, here's the reason why Christ has engrafted you into Himself, that the Father might be glorified through you. That's an amazing thought, really, when you really take an honest look at yourself, at what you are and how you think and the things that you do, that God could receive glory from what you do. That's an amazing thought. But He does, and He can. So how does this work? I mean, it's one thing for me to stand up here and tell you to be a light, and that you can only be a light if you're abiding in Christ. But how does this work? I'll tell you how it doesn't work. It doesn't work if you walk around only thinking about yourself. And as common as that is to hear, that's usually what we do. What can I do to bring God glory? Well, let's see. This next year, I'm going to commit to reading 5 chapters a day, an hour of prayer every day, meditation for 3 hours. By the way, I'm not committing to do that. But those are the kind of things that we usually think about. Listen to so many sermons a day. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. But you realize that if you do all of that, and that's kind of where your commitment stops, well, you're not much of a light. You're not much of a light. Christ said that He came not to be ministered unto, but to be a minister. Whenever you look into Philippians 2, whenever Paul is encouraging Philippians and encouraging us that we should conform ourselves to have the mind of Jesus Christ, He says, think not only on your things, but on the things of others also. And He goes through and paints a picture of a selfless, others-centered, if I could say that, mindset. To where we're not walking around thinking about what all we need to do to grow, what all we need to do to kind of advance ourselves, but we're trying to figure out how we can help others advance and become greater than we are. And so it's not so much the fact that we're in the spotlight, but we are the spotlight. Our attentions are turned on other people, not on ourselves. We're not worried about being magnified. We're worried about magnifying the Father. And the Father has made it clear that if we are going to serve Him, we must serve others. That's what Christ calls us to do if we're going to be a light. That's what Christ calls us to do if we're going to serve Him, if we're going to glorify the Father, which, by the way, is the end of every purpose that God has ever purposed, that He might receive glory to Himself. Why has God chosen you for salvation? We know that in Ephesians, that we might be to the praise of His glory. Why has God chosen you and ordained that you bring forth fruit and that your fruit might remain? Because herein is the Father glorified. Why does the Father call you to be a light? That men may see your good works and glorify the Father. And so what happens is, we have to, as Christ did, make our business the Father's business. Or I guess the Father's business, our business, right? We have to make God's agenda our agenda. We have to take the focus off of ourselves and put it on Christ and therein put it on other people. It's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing to do. Number one, because I'm selfish. Number two, because I've got a job. I've got to work. I've got things to do. And by the time I get home and by the time I eat and get kind of settled in, there's only a few hours left in the day. And so what happens? You realize that God has not called you to serve Him after you get home from work and after you've eaten supper and after everything's kind of tied away. But God has called you to whatever occupation it is that you do. And in that, He's given you plenty of opportunity, whether you see it or not, to be a light and a witness for Him. So that every single day that you live your life, God has given you plenty of opportunity to be what He has called you to be. You see, it's not some secret society. It's not some after-hours activity. It's an all-day, every-day kind of thing. I'm going to leave it at that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank You for Your goodness to us. We thank You that You are a good God, that You call us to be lights, and You bless us with the means to do that. I do pray, Lord, that You would be with Timothy as he comes forward, that You would bless the word that he speaks, that it would edify Your people, and that it would glorify You. And I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.